Amen. Thank you, Brother Joe. Everything sounds good out there? Sweet. I was just thinking, man, you're a great man of faith, Joe, to put somebody up here you've never really heard speak or anything. You know, I could just, I'm sure the ushers would escort me out if, you know, it got too bad. But it is very, very awesome to be worshiping God with y'all. Appreciated the worship songs, and I loved the testimonies over there, man. That I just want to bless you guys as you're like making a new commitment and experiencing the grace of Christ, and he's going to lead you guys and use you in powerful ways as you just live in that submission to the awesome lordship of Christ. And so I want to really bless y'all. Joe, I could tell a lot of good stories about my cousin Joe, y'all's pastor. But, you know, he assured me we don't have much time, so we're trying to, you know, be out of here at a certain time. So I can hardly resist, but, you know, maybe if the Spirit prompts me during the message, I could share a few good stories. But we've done different things together growing up and spent some time at a boys' camp in Idaho and a lot of good memories, and we would see Joe and his family like every few years, and every time though it was like lots of mischief would happen because it built up over time. So yeah, we're from Virginia, and just sometimes if you don't have a clue who's talking to you, it's nice to know a little bit, you have a little connection. I grew up on a dairy farm for almost my whole life, so we were country people, and you know, sometimes you get your identity in where you live and like what you do. And we had sort of a ministry in the city, and we'd go there and get to know a bunch of people, and but it was like we didn't live in their world, and it was darkness, all kinds of drugs and shootings and stuff. And so about 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we actually moved to the city. So we had a big change up in our life, and it really kind of caused us to realize, you know, our identity is in Christ, not our background, not where we are from, like our hobbies and work and everything. And it's not our preference really to be city people, but we're kingdom of God people. And I just want to start with that. Like if we get that, no matter where the Lord takes you, your identity is in, you're a citizen of his kingdom. And man, you are so free as you live in that state, and I just want to encourage y'all to go that direction. So I'm going to start in Philippians, if you want to turn there. I know the time is going to get away from us, so I'm going to probably talk a little fast and try to get through this. It's a blessing to be here. I'm just so happy that y'all invited us in and made us feel warm. So title, The Mindset of the Mature, and we went through Philippians a while back, so we're kind of in our church, so we're just kind of breaking right in chapter 3, which is kind of sad because it's just such a good chapter. The whole book is just so rich, but you just don't have the time to do it all. So everybody likes to think they're kind of mature, right? Like, young people, you know, you don't want to be thought of as a child, like ignorant child. Like we always like to think we're a little more probably mature than we are. And I want us to think about what really scripturally, what biblically is a mature minded person. Because your mindset is huge. Like how you think about life makes all the difference in if you're devastated by a trial, or you march through it, because your mindset is so. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. If you have a Bible or some type of device that you like to read in, and I'm going to start in Philippians 3 verse 12. Now, again, it's just breaking right in, but if you want to do some background reading,
We just don't have time because it's so rich. But let's go read. I'll just read through 12 to the end of the chapter. And this is the NIV version. So if you want to just listen, you can. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but key here, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Now just as we're thinking about this, think of your mindset. Is it a mindset of my past, my mistakes, what I used to do, my environment? He says, forgetting what is in the past, I press ahead. I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature, so this is kind of the key verse. Think about it. All of us who are mature should have this mindset. So if you want to be a mature Christian and you're not thinking like this, you're not mature. I'm just kind of an ignorant, childish Christian if I'm thinking past stuff, so like living in the past. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I often have told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. You catch that? The mature mind is set on heaven. The opposite, the other side is their mindset set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Such a rich passage. I would just like to offer this up to the Lord, and if you would just pray with me again. God, I just am in awe of your holiness, in that you would choose to speak to us. You would care to know our name, and just pray you would eradicate any wayward thought from my mind, anything that is not from your spirit. I pray you would just disperse it, God, and just open our ears so that we would have ears to hear and hands and feet to act on what you're going to show us this morning. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the mindset of the mature. This is kind of the key verse. Therefore, now this is, I think I put it on the screen in the New King James Version because it's just how I like some of the wording in that. But it says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And every time, obviously, preachers always say, when it's therefore, you got to see what was before. So, like, the verses we just read, in short, are, I think they're in here somewhere. Well, let's talk about mindset first. Joe said I had some ADD problems. As you think about mindset, what does that mean to you? And the word is kind of neat. It's to exercise the mind, entertain or have sentiment or an opinion. It's like, it's just how you think. And if you have two people from two different cultures, they see the same thing and their mindset is just different. Jesus wants us to have a different mindset, and it's one that's based on things like eternal things. So what do you interest yourself in? Like, think of the definitions of the word. What do you set your affection on? Or I like the word savor. It's like when you eat it. You're just, when you eat that ribs Joe made us last night, I mean, I was just sitting there savoring that meat. My mind was on it. It was good. But this defines really who we are as people, right? It's like what we dwell on in our mind is, and then as we're thinking about this, what shapes your mindset? What are the situations and the information that has made you think how you think right now? It's kind of a good thought to think about. If you're not constantly going back to what is God's definition of things, we can end up in all sorts of places. So he says, therefore, let this be your mindset. And that is verses 12 to 14. You know, in short, it's like I'm forgetting what is in the past and I'm pressing forward to what's in the future. Like, that's my mindset. It's based on the eternal goal, the prize. So I could just go into so many different things, but if you ever like are into sports or like racing, foot racing, marathons, I don't know if anybody's into that, but you know, if you're running, you're not concerned about very much other than just trying to get to the finish line. Like, you might drink some water along the way, but you're not boggled down with a whole lot of things. And I think that's the mindset as Christians Jesus wants us to have. So we're going to look at 5 points to try to develop this mature mindset. That sounds a little scary, 5 points, that's a lot, but I'm going to try to go quick. You know, you're supposed to have 3 points and a conclusion, I know, but it should be two messages. It should be like developing the mindset and then acting on it. I wish we could do that, but so as we're thinking about this, whether or not you admit it or know it, you all have a mindset, right? You have a worldview, a way you think about things, and it's formed a lot by information and life experience, right? Like, that's kind of what shapes how I think. For instance, we had some people over to our house one time, and all of a sudden, their kid is on the table, crawling around. And I'm like, my mindset was that's not really how you do at people's houses. Apparently, their mindset was that's how you do. It was just a different way of thinking. I wasn't condemning them, but just had to roll with it. But it's kind of an example of like how you think about things just shapes, you know. And it's what's so awesome about the scripture is it brings us all back to a center point that we can be like submitted to and growing towards. This is why I think it's so important. This I'm like kind of taking a long explanation to try to prove this point, but imagine this. This is why mindset is so important, like what you're thinking about, what you're actually expecting. This guy is walking across a field, nice summer day, leisurely walking, and all of a sudden a mob of people just descend on him and just plaster him to the ground, stepping on him and just... And he's like, what in the world just happened? And he brushes himself off. And he's offended. He's ready to take these guys to court. He's like, this is bad stuff. And then you have the next guy. He's wearing a football helmet, pads, cleats. He steps on the field, and he's ready for the... Because it's a football game that the guy just walked into. His mindset was, he didn't understand what was going on, and I think we go through life like that. We don't realize we enter a battle. We're supposed to be living as soldiers of the cross, and like we're pressing towards a goal, and we enter it like the first guy, and we're just kind of walking around, and when bad things happen, we're devastated, and we're ready to go to task with people. And instead of realizing it's all about mindset, the one guy realized it was a football game, and the other guy didn't. So that's why this is hugely important. We're in a spiritual war, and so moving along. Let's see if this thing will click. Developing the mindset. This is kind of, I think, some very practical things from the next couple verses we can really grasp. Number one is to have grace for those who are less mature. And as you grow in maturity, as your mind is, like he says in verse 15, let all of us who are mature have this mindset. It is so easy to look at those people who are less advanced, and then you start to be like, what? I don't know why we're like that, but maybe none of y'all ever think like this, but I can be, God will take me on this journey, and I was just clueless about a certain thing, and I finally get it, and I'm like, oh, wow. And then I wonder why everybody else doesn't understand this. Like, what is wrong with them? They're so... That's a good way to take you backwards, because it's pride. But have grace for those. He says it so clear in verse 15. He says, have this mindset, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So God's going to reveal it, right? Just give it some time. And I think that's a good starting point. Be graceful to those who are less. Number two, be aware of backsliding. The NIV explains this. Well, that's not even showing up on the screen. I'll just read it. It says it real simple this way. It says, verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Let us live up. Like, how far advanced are you in your Christian, like, understanding in life? That's where you are. Live up to that. Have grace for those who aren't, but don't go backwards and say, oh, well, God understands. I think I'll just be a couch potato. So be aware of backsliding. Ask other mature brothers and sisters, like, real questions. What do you see in me? Is my mind set on eternity, or is it, am I pretty much living just by the pressures of life? So look at verse, I'm getting old, I can't hardly see all the way back there. Seek out those who are more mature than yourself is point three. Verse 17 says, brethren, join in following my example. Note, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So remember, we're trying to develop this mind that Paul is saying we're supposed to have, this one that says, forget what's behind, press on towards what's ahead. He says, look, we're putting ourselves out here as an example. Look at people who are doing it, and it's okay to have Christian heroes and guys and ladies that have done things that... It inspires me. Like, read biographies. Like, he says, 17 again, join together in following my example. Like, it helps you develop this mind by seeing it modeled in other people. Always keep scripture on top, because there is a lot of people, and he talks about in the next verses, that are not following this pattern. Okay. How about this? If try to get in here. This is something that I thought of the other day, and we're going to go with point four now. Seek out those who are more mature than yourself. And number four, constantly remember that we're not home yet. Like, this is so helpful to remind yourself of what is actually important. Is it the here and now? And so if I took this, I'm trying to look for a very small person. We'll just do it like this. Let's say you got a two-year-old. I use you guys. Pretend like this is a 1 or 2 year old guy, kid sitting here, and I'm here, and I'm going to make an offer. This is not too much money, but pretend like it's $1,000. And I'm holding it out to the kid. Who do you think, which one is he going to take, do you reckon? He will take the M&Ms every time, right? And you guys are just like, no, right? Because you're like, I could buy this kid 100 M&Ms and keep the rest, right? Because why? You're more mature, right? It's ridiculous to fall for the candy when you're gonna have the 1,000, right? How are we doing? Like when we look for things that appeal to my flesh, and God is like, I'm offering you eternity and blessings evermore, and we're like, no. You know, y'all can share them. But isn't that kind of like how we do? We think so immaturely, and God thinks so eternally. And as we remember, we're not home yet. Our bank account is investing in the eternal kingdom of God. And he says, the value is unthinkable. It's like a hundredfold on your investment. Or I can say, no, I'll take the quick. And I think this principle keeps my mind as much as anything towards the things like that are eternal. C.S. Lewis has this quote, I just love it. It says, in other words, our desires are not wrong. They're just kind of immature so often. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong. In other words, it's good. He gave us desires, but they're actually too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink, sex, ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who goes on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And I was just, with the illustration, I was thinking of how, like, God is there seeing us eating this junk food, and he's like, but I'm offering you joy evermore, like those songs we were singing. And you're falling for this. And the next verse is described as just to a T. Look at what it says. Picture the contrast here. Verse 18 says, maybe I don't have 18 on the thing. I'll just read it. For as I have often told you before, and now I'll tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is is destruction, and the God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Why? Because they set their minds on earthly things. Look, he's not saying they're living in immorality and they're sinning and this. He's just saying they're living for temporary stuff that's going to go away. They're enemies of my kingdom because they're investing in ambitions, in things that will not last. So let's remember, we're not home yet. There is so many scriptures that I could try to support this with, but the time is really going by. 2 Corinthians talks about, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, talks about we're living in this earthly tent, but there's an eternal home. There's an eternal house. And if you ever go, like I like to camp, and our family is kind of outdoorsy a little bit. And have you ever seen, though, like a backpacker with an easy chair, like strapped to his backpack? Like he's packing 8 miles in. Like it's a ridiculous thought, right? Because he's only staying there a few days and then he's moving on. And I look around at our stuff and like our ambitions and I'm like, is our mind actually set on the kingdom or is it kind of this world? Really, really more than maybe we would like to admit. And I'm not against like making your house look decent and, you know, but literally, if you're on a backpacking trip, you don't take the recliner. You take probably a little sleeping mat to keep you from freezing and a sleeping bag, and You're not building, you're not putting shrubbery up because you're moving on. You know, you're just pruning the shrubs outside the tent. It's just going to hold you back. So, again, as we go through this progression, I just want us to test kind of before the Holy Spirit, is my mindset a whole lot more temporary than it is eternal? Because the mindset of a mature, I just kind of have it in a statement, is to live your life with eternity in mind, to make your decisions in light of eternity. That's kind of the practical take home. If you forget all the points, just remember, the mindset of a mature, biblical-minded person is to make decisions with eternity in mind. I'm just going to have to skip some of these passages, but if you get a chance, read 1 Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, and Hebrews 5 is a great little nugget about you should be, he tells them, I'll just paraphrase, he's like, by this time you should be teachers, yet you just need baby food still. He's like, you just need milk. You're drinking milk and you should be the teacher by this point. You're still drinking from Pastor Steve, is it Steve? Steve. He's feeding you, and that's good unless you're, 5 years in and you're still like going back for more baby food. And he said, but it comes by exercising maturity. This maturity comes from the exercise of your mind. Like it takes work to grow in maturity. But these points I think are helpful as we're moving along to try to go that direction. Last point. I was going to go into this thing about what citizenship is, because he says in verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. Like, these next two points are about, the verses points 4 and 5 are just really about, where is your heart? Where is your citizenship? Like, if you're an ambassador and you're in another country, your homeland is in another country, but you're living in this one. Is that the way we think, or are we pretty much, we're good? We're pretty much, we belong here. And these are, I know we're going fast, and it's getting close to 11:30, but I just, please remember, don't fall for the M&Ms when God is offering you eternal rewards. Like, it just is a painful thing to think about to me. Let's look at verse 20 to 21 in closing. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. So point 5, anticipate the return of the Savior. I'm going to ask some of you younger people, let's say mid-teenagers, I don't care. When your parents go away for a few hours and you're home, like, is there a lot of difference than when they're there? I mean, I remember those days. You do things that you probably wouldn't do when they're home, right? This one, yeah. I remember my sister and I, man, we had all these little games. We would jump from this thing to that thing, and they'd never told us not to do it. But we wouldn't have done it if they were there. And imagine, if they said they were coming back at 4:30, about 4:15, things were tightening up a little bit, right? Because we were anticipating. See what the verse says? Anticipate. And not that we're waiting, God's going to come and beat us with a stick because we're misbehaving. No, it's because we love the Savior and we cannot wait for him to come home. Like, we're not running around like, oh, God's going to come back. And we're like, no, God is coming. Jesus is coming back for me. I want to be occupying till he comes. I don't want to be surrounding myself with more temporary stuff that's just going to be evaporated. I want to be surrounding myself with investment in his kingdom. And when he come back, he says, well done. You took that talent and you made something of it. you took advantage of your skill as a musician, and instead of coming up here and, you know, catching some glory for yourself, you said, I'm going to use my talent, and I'm going to funnel that glory towards God. That's the mindset of the mature. Who's getting the glory? And if you say, I'm going to make decisions off of who gets the glory and what is eternally lasting, like the last 2 points, you're going towards maturity. You're a maturing Christian. So I think I will close with this. Joe, you want to bring that trash can up here? I'm just a real, like, kind of person that likes objects. But picture this. This says, this is the Bank of Eternity. It's my kid's piggy bank. Polar bear. It's God's bank, okay? Everything, just to keep it from taking too long, everything that goes in here multiplies. And it takes time, though. It's not a microwave. It's an investment that you might not see the multiplication of it till heaven. Do you trust him, though? And you're putting your little, let's say you take time and you volunteer. You do something that is just, it is nothing to do with you. It's to do with God's glory. And you're like, oh, I don't have that last 2 hours anymore. But do you trust that God is going to take that? Like, he said it. I could take you to so many verses. He says, I am multiplying the things you did it out of truth and out of faith and love. Versus this. Okay, I gotta have some me time now. I mean, it's me. And you just keep. This is a bottomless trash can. You're never getting it back. Those things that we do simply out of selfishness. And I was intentionally being very vague about what these things are, because you could say, like Joe, I think, likes to golf. You could golf out of selfish motivation, and it's all about me, and it's doing just what I did. It's throwing your time in a rat hole. Or you could, I don't have enough money, so I have to get something back out. Or you could say, I'm gonna go golfing for the same amount of time, and you're like, I'm doing this for the glory of God. I'm going to see opportunities to disciple other golfers. Do you see the totally different? One is me-focused. It's mine. I deserve it. That isn't coming back. So it's not about this activity or that. It's about a person that is constantly remembering we're not home yet. We're anticipating the Savior, and we're living our life for him. Amen. It might be sacrificial. Like, read the Bible. It is so many verses about suffering. It's crazy. In the New Testament, suffering. Who wants to suffer? I would rather chill. But you can trust every promise that the Lord gives us. And I just want to leave us with this. Let's invest as mature people. All you businessmen get this. I wonder, though, as Christians, do we get it? You're like, yeah, I'll tighten my belt and I'll go without, you know, going out to eat because I'm investing in this new project, and when it sells, we're going to be making bank. Let's think like that as Christians. I know we're out of time, so what are the eternal things that you're investing in? I just want to just think about it. And the most eternal things I know are human beings. All your houses, all my cars, all my stuff is temporary. But the people in your life, your kids, your church family, those your neighbors that don't know the Lord, those individuals are going to last forever. And if I choose to be mature-minded person, I know. I'm gonna get more return for my investment in heaven, and I'll be able to worship the Lord, I think, more radically than ever I could do when I just lived. I'm saved because of the blood of Christ. Like, it's not about works. But I'm not getting a lot of rewards to throw at his feet. Look at this. I will close with this. Aim at heaven, C.S. Lewis. Aim at heaven, okay? You're not going to get it right all the time, but at least aim towards it. Aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. Yeah, you might suffer. You might not have a fancy place because you gave it up for the kingdom of God. But guess what happened along the way? You got more joy. You got more fulfillment. You got eternally lasting fruit. But the contrast is, like verses 18 and 19, I think, those that set their mind on things of the Lord, all those activities that I tried to do to bring me some satisfaction, they ended up being exactly that. After it was done, I'm like, oh, well, I've got to think of the next thing. And we have so many people in our neighborhood. Our thing is drugs and alcohol. I mean, that is what our neighborhood goes to find some, like, way to, a mechanism to get through life. And, you know, got my friends, some of my neighbors there. I've rolled some of them out of the street in the freezing cold to, you know, drug him up in his house because he was stoned out of his head and he could have froze. And they were like, we're all like, well, that's dumb. What? Why would you do that? I just challenge us to think about ourselves. Are we not that different, but our stuff is just a little more spiritual looking? Like, our little kingdoms are a little more Christian-ish. So I just want to leave us with that. And I can't really get into the practical of, like, just filter your mind through this. Is it bringing glory to God, my decision? Is it got eternal implication versus is it a good chance this is just gone with the wind? It's dust in the wind. And then make your decision. That's the difference between a mature-minded, the mindset of a mature, to the mindset of a very childish-thinking person. Jim Elliot, I love this quote. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that man gave up his very life to try to bring the gospel to the unreached. I think I'll close with that. I think when I'll just close in prayer, and if you're sitting there and you feel like your life is very empty, like, every goal that you meet, it just leaves you with more emptiness. Like, you have a thing you're striving for, and it's just like, it might be ministry stuff. It could be like, I want to see the church do this, and you get to that milestone, and it's like, I thought it would be cooler. I thought it would feel better. Maybe we need to transition towards, is this stuff that's impacting, that we're putting our weight in, that we're investing in, is it actually eternal? Because ministry is a mechanism to get people there, and if that's all it is just we're worshiping the mechanism, then we're... So as I pray, as I lead us in prayer, you talk to God. Ask him to, like, search your hearts, and, you know, if he shows you something that you're seeking fulfillment out of, it could be a sinful thing, or it could be just a pretty harmless-looking thing. Like, let's just get serious, and I'll just pray. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. I pray that you would make this church a eternally mature-minded body of believers, and I'm excited about what I'm seeing and what... Just all these young people and kids growing up in a church that wants to disciple followers of Christ that multiply and disciple more. And I just pray you would just bless them in that.
I pray you would call young men and women to lives of kingdom impact and raise our viewpoint from temporary earthly goals and milestones to eternal, unshakable, for everlasting goals. And just use the things people are good at, use the interests of people, but make them eternal. And I just pray you would do this through the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just close? You want to? Okay. Well, Joe said to just close when I'm done, and I thank y'all so much for your attention, and I want to bless y'all and appreciate you for letting us come, and let's do it. God bless you. We'll be dismissed.